Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
And welcome to episode 201, the Thanksgiving episode. Here in the United States, it is the day before Thanksgiving, Wednesday, November 23rd, 2016. I hope if you are here in the USA that you have wonderful plans, whether quiet or big. We have quiet plans for Thursday. We're going to stay home and have a nice meal here, and then Friday we're going to the big Thanksgiving party at a friend's. So it's kind of the best of both worlds for us. I am looking over at the chaise lounge. I don't even know if that's how you say it, where I put the backing fabric for the Civil War Birds in the Air quilt, kind of laid it out after I got it out of the dryer, and now Travis is snuggled up on it. He looks really comfortable. In any event, today I have spent a good part of the day, well, I felt like I spent a large part of the day at Whole Foods picking up my turkey, but really that was just an hour. But I have been cleaning up the front room, which is also the dining room. It's like five rooms in one. It's a very convenient room. And I'm sitting right now at the dining room table, which we use approximately four times a year, including Thanksgiving. So I've cleaned up so that tomorrow I can set a nice table and make it all fancy. But once I finished doing the cleaning up, I finally basted the Flying Geese baby quilt. And I'll tell you what, I don't know why y'all have not told me before that the best way to baste is with curved safety pins. Maybe you have told me that. I know I've read it, but I finally got some. They're so much easier to use. You know, I dread basting. I wonder for how many people, if that's what, you know, that's where the train stops. Why so many quilts go unfinished, because you just think, I really cannot bear to baste this quilt. I can't even stand the thought. But now that that's done, I actually am going to focus on the Bauhaus Birds in the Air. That is going to be my project for the next few days. You know, the first one did not take a huge amount of time. It's not that big of a quilt. I'm going to be very careful. I have a fresh pattern from the wonderful Adele. She sent me an extra copy of the pattern. I guess this summer, and I'm excited to do it again because I hope I'm going to do it a lot better than the first time. So, and I got a light box. It is a Huion, H-U-I-O-N, light box. It was sort of a mid-priced light box. It's flat, it's sleek, and it's very, very bright, and I'm looking forward to using that, you know, for my other paper piecing projects and applique projects and that have called for a light box. I had a homemade one that worked really well. I mean, for what it was, let's say that. I got some those press-on lights. They're like little domes, and you press them, and the light comes on. And then I had a flat plastic box that was probably maybe, let's say 18 inches by, not 18 by 18, but you know, that size, roughly that size. And it worked, but the light could have been brighter. So I just thought, you know, if I'm going to do this and do this well and probably do other paper piecing projects, because I enjoy paper piecing, I'm going to put out some money, shell out a little bit of money at least, and get this. So I will let you know how it works, if it's something that I'm happy with. Fingers crossed that I am. So I have a couple quilt diaries for you, and I think I will get on with those, but I hope if you're here in the U.S. that you have a lovely and peaceful Thanksgiving. By the way, we do not discuss politics in this podcast, but if you discuss them over the Thanksgiving table, I hope all goes well. And for those of you around the world, I like saying that. It makes me feel very grand. Yes, to all my listeners around the globe, I hope you too have a good Thursday full of things to be thankful for. So, hey, let's get on with the quilt diaries. P.S. Totally forgot to mention the Birds in the Air giveaway. Enter a comment, leave a comment by December 1st, and you will be entered into the drawing for Birds in the Air or any of my other books. If you have a child you need to get a gift for over the holiday season, this could be a great opportunity. Also, the man has just informed me he has set up a Goodreads giveaway for a copy of Birds in the Air, and that begins December 1st. and runs through December 25th. So some birds in the air opportunities for you. Please enter to win. And even if you don't want to win, go ahead and leave a comment because I love to hear from you. Okay, on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Monday, November 14th. I believe that is the day, 2016. It's in the afternoon. I've had a good morning of writing. Travis, who's very fuzzy right now, is sitting here beside me. It's a rainy day. It's nice. It's cold and rainy, and if we had a stretch of this, I would have to work very hard to not complain about the weather, though I never do. But tomorrow's supposed to be sunny and beautiful again. We've been having a nice fall. What are the things that I need to tell you today? Well, I'm looking over at my design wall, and I have finished the top of the baby quilt I'm working on for Cullen and Pamela and their baby. They have opted not to learn the sex of the baby, so that'll be a big surprise. Anyway, so this is the modern flying geese, and now all I have to do is everything else. Besides the top, I don't know why I think that the top, getting the top done is like close, means you're close to being done, because you're not even close to being done. So my hope is today I will get it basted. I don't know what I'm going to do to quilt it. I think I will look through my girl Krista Watson's books, the one she did on her own and the one she did with the marvelous Angela Walters, and see if I can steal some ideas from them. I would like to do just something very simple. I'm not going to get fancy with it at all. And so I'm pleased with it. It's cute. I think a simple quilting design will work just fine with it. I am also getting ready, and this may be something else that I work on today, is I'm getting ready to do round 2, second draft of Bauhaus Birds in the Air. I feel like I've been saying that over and over for 2 months now. You can tell I'm a little scared to get started. I need to get on that pony because we are not very far away, 17 days away, 2.5 weeks away from the deadline for QuiltCon if you're going to submit quilts. And I am. Now, I have been working for the last week on a shack. I've been working on an odd applique project, which I have really, truly enjoyed. If you listen to the last episode, you know I now have a house obsession. And I talked about the artist Beverly Buchanan, who is a sculptor, among other things. And she did what she called shack works. Yeah, and they're sculptures. I linked to an article about her, but maybe I just this afternoon after I'm done talking to you, I found a 30-minute video with her talking about her work. I'm very excited, so maybe I'll link to the video, but maybe link to a picture or two of her shacks as well, which are kind of primitive looking and very beautiful. But any event, I got a book from Amazon, used as a catalog from an exhibit that she was in with two other artists in the early 90s. One was a photographer named Max Belcher, and the other was an artist mostly known for his photography, William Christenberry. And Christenberry is also into houses, and in particular into vernacular architecture. And he's still living. He's in his 80s. He lives in D.C., where he taught art for 30 years, but he's originally from Hale County, Alabama. If you've ever read James Agee's Let Us Now Praise Famous Men, Let Us Now Praise Famous Men, which is illustrated with photographs from Walker Evans, then you are familiar with Hale County, Alabama. This was a book that was done in the 30s, and it was a documentary work on tenant farmers in Alabama. And it's an amazing piece of work. The photographs are iconic. You are familiar with them, even if you don't know that you are. And the writing is just wild. I think they were sent down. It's like Time or Life or, you know, one of the big news weeklies at that time sent them down. And I don't think that whoever it was actually printed what A.G. wrote, and it's almost like a very long prose poem. So maybe they printed part of it, but in any event, so that's Hell Canyon, and that's where Kristen Berry was originally from. And he was always an artist, but like a lot of artists, moved north to New York in the 50s and did photography. And one of the things he's best known for is really bringing color photography into the art world. For so long, it was considered, first of all, there wasn't color photography for a long time. But even when color film became available, art photographers and documentary photographers rejected it. And Kristen Berry was the one who brought it to the forefront. And his photographs are primarily of the South. And he was particularly interested in buildings. And he would go, even after he moved to Washington, he went back home every year. And he often took photographs of the same buildings year after year. And they're fascinating documents. And they're beautiful photographs, but if you watch this building that's been, first of all, particularly if it's abandoned, like an old drugstore, old country store, right? And over a period of 10 years, in this hot, humid, and quite fecund environment, a lot can happen to a wooden building, right? And so it's just wild to watch how things evolve and devolve. So anyway, I got this book, because I wanted to look at the Beverly Buchanan sculptures, and then suddenly I'm looking at Kristen Berry's work, which I was already familiar with, but I'm like, oh yeah, he's into this stuff too. And so he also did sculptures. He was had that desire to respond to things that he saw and things that moved him through art. And I found this great photograph. I got a book out of the library that's just on Kristen Berry. Actually, it's a book I'd gotten before, but I got it again. I should probably just buy it. And it had some of his sculptures. And I started thinking, I'd like to see if I can copy one of these into fabric. And that's what I worked on. I went to the scrap exchange, and I got about $12 worth of fabric, which means about 20 yards. Now, what I got is, for the background fabric, I got found some brown fabric, which matched the photograph that I took of this sculpture. I don't think that's ultimately what I'm going to use, but I'm using it right now. I also, one of the things they sell at Scrap Exchange is upholstery fabric sample books. And they sell that as like they're one, depending on the size, some of them are for $1, some of them are $3, but it's all this amazing fabric. It's all, and obviously it's upholstery fabric, so it's very textured. And so I bought several of those books, and that's what I used to make the house or the shack. And so I'm still working on it. I've finished it. But I don't know quite what I'm going to do with it. And I have been conferring some with a friend for ideas and try to make it kind of a pictorial piece. But that is, I'm not quite sure. I'll have to play with it. And, the thing is that my design wall is tall, but it's not hugely wide. It might be 45 inches. I don't know. I'm thinking around that though. Maybe a little less, maybe 42. And I think that this house needs a what you would call a landscape background. So I think that it ultimately will be wider than it is long, which I don't know. I guess it means I could just put my design board on the side, on its side. I could do that. Anyway, but I am going to have to put that aside for a little while and get to work on some other things. But that is where I am and what I've been working on, which has been just a lot of fun. It was really fun. What I was doing with my abandoned house / shack, whatever we're going to call it, I was cutting out pieces for the walls.
I did kind of ended up, and this was not on purpose, but kind of a wonky log cabin-ish design. Very wonky, very loose. And then on for the roof, I actually did just strips fairly evenly across. And I glued everything down. So I cut out pieces of muslin. So I cut out a pattern. And then, you know, just from the drawing, I did a pattern. And then I used that to cut out a paper pattern to cut out muslin pieces. And then glued the upholstery pieces onto the fabric and then sewed them down using a zigzag stitch. And I like it. I'll put up a picture, even though it's just right now, just the house, and you can see. But I, like I said, it was fun. It was a really kind of fun arts and crafts project, and it's good for me to play, and I enjoy it. So that's where I am quilty-wise, and I will keep you up to date. And oh, so yesterday I went to the Modern Quilt Guild meeting here in the Triangle. The meeting now is in Raleigh. It's moved around a little bit. It's a kind of a trek for me, but it's not too bad. So it's a little under 30 minutes. Some of the drive is very pretty. And it's at a swim club. It's like in a swim club community room, but it's a nice space. They set up yesterday in a circle. There were some people missing. So maybe there were like 20 people there yesterday. And this wonderful woman, Sonia, did a kind of a class on English paper piecing with hexies. And she was great. She's really this lovely woman. She's very kind. She seems to me, I don't really know her, but she just strikes me as being very kind. She's European, but I could not tell you. I don't think she's German. I have to ask her. I'll ask her the next time I see her. I don't think she's German. She's possibly Dutch. I don't know. I'll ask. I'll find out for you and tell you later. But really nice. And she showed me, you know, it's like, this is the kind of thing that I was like, oh, this is really neat. But, you know, it takes me like I have to do something 5 times before I can really figure out how to do it. And she came over and helped me and showed me how to do it. And the people sitting around me were also very nice. So I got the hang of it. I've never done English paper piecing before. And it seems fun. I could see doing it. I'm not going to take it up right now. But I could see working on a project. And it was nice to have an introduction to it. What was funny is I got there, you know, and I'm fairly new to this group. I think people kind of are, maybe recognizing me as someone who is part of the group. When I got there, usually there's a sign-in, and I saw a notebook, and there was a woman standing by herself next to it, and I went up to her. I said, is that the sign-in notebook? And she said, I don't know. I'm new here. I said, oh, well, I said, I'm sort of new, too, and introduced myself. And we were chatting, and finally she said, now, are you the Frances who wrote the book? I was like, yeah. And Pam, if you're listening, you will like this, because she said, yeah, I was listening to the stitch. And I heard your interview, and I got the book, and I really liked it. And then I listened to your podcast, and you talked about coming to the Modern Quilt Guild. And so, and I've been wanting to go to a guild. So here I am. So it was very funny, you know, that she was like who I kind of just was talking to, you know, the first person in the meeting I talked to, and her name is Hillary. Hillary, if you're listening, hello, it was so good to meet you. And she said she just started sewing in April, but I think she's one of those smart people because she seems to really know what she's doing and talking about. And she's, you know, she's done some paper piecing and talked about a craftsy class that she took on English paper piecing. And she was definitely much more evolved than I am, at least in those terms. So next time I see her, I'd be interested to go. Now, you say you just started sewing in April, but I feel like, are you really that? Some people are. Some people just pick stuff up, and some people are like me and just stumble along for a really long time. But that was neat. And so, yes, it's such a nice group, as I have said again and again. It's a very welcoming, friendly group. I'm glad I went. I almost didn't, just mostly because, one, it was a potluck.
And so I was like, do I have to socialize? Which is fine because these are nice people. But, you know, that's the introvert side. It's like, oh, no, I need an activity. Can't just be sitting around eating and chatting. Although that's what we did. And it was perfectly nice. I ended up bringing deviled eggs. This is not a particularly Southern group because these are the best deviled eggs I've ever made. And like the first go round, it was like only one person took one. And I'm like, okay. And so I took two just so I wouldn't be embarrassed if only three were gone. Cause I brought like, I think 15. And I'm like, wow, these are really good deviled eggs. And a few more people ate them. And then the man and Jack were so happy when I brought some home. There were probably eight left and they were like, excellent. This is such good news. anyway, but one of the women, Megan, brought pimento cheese. So I was happy as a clam. And I'm glad I went to, even though I've been struggling a little bit with my back, and it's mostly with my hip, my left hip, for some reason, is just really bugging me. And I think it's because I think I need to get new shoes, new walking shoes. That may be one reason. The ones I'm wearing when I go take Trav out in the morning are really old. So that may be a problem, and maybe I'm just sitting too much. So I'm trying to be more on my treadmill desk, and I mean, I'm standing now. So there was part of me is like, I had gone to Sunday school. I actually skipped church cause I just knew I would be so uncomfortable, for an hour sitting there. So I thought, oh, do I really want to go to a meeting and sit some more? But I decided to, and I was glad I did. So that was very nice. And let's see. Oh, the other thing, I guess, I was just thinking about, you know, community stuff and nice groups of people. As always, I love the twilters. Again, working on this baby quilt. You know, I can never remember. It's like, how big are they supposed to be? And I went online and there were different, you know, answers to that. But somebody said, oh, you know, I think 36 by 52, something like that. So I thought, well, that sounds reasonable. And so that's what I did. You know, I had the central unit of the flying geese. And so I just was going to add, you know, white around it. And so I did that. I offset the geese unit to the right. But once I sewed on the extra fabric, I'm like, wow, that's kind of big. That's about 10 babies worth of a quilt. But I went, and this was fairly late Saturday night, I went on Facebook to the twilters and said, does this seem really big to you? I mean, proportionally, it looks absolutely fine. So it wasn't like, wow, this seems like really out of proportion. It just seemed large. And everyone was like, you want to make them big. Make them big. Because, babies get big pretty quickly. And it's like, oh, it's true. So that was nice to get instant affirmation and confirmation and just all those good things that I get from the twilter. So yay. So that is my report for right now. I think I have one more week before I need to post this, and I'm sure I will be back to tell you all sorts of interesting things. My big plan tomorrow is to go to Thimble Pleasures and finally get the backing fabric for the Civil War Birds in the Air quilt so I can finish that up once and for all. And I'm doing a reading on Sunday. If you are in the Wake Forest, North Carolina area, come see me. I'm going to be at the new quilt shop there. I don't even know what it's called. This is in conjunction with the bookstore there, which I can't remember what it's called. I need to get on top of that. I hope someone else is doing publicity because I'm clearly not doing a good job of it right now. So, okay, I think that is it for now. I will be back in a bit. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Tuesday, November 22nd, almost Thanksgiving. We are having another one of our quiet Thanksgivings. You know, I have mixed feelings about our quiet Thanksgivings. Now, for years and years, we went to Kentucky to see my parents, or else popped over to Charlotte to my mother-in-law's. But a few years ago, we started staying home because someone was always getting sick. So I think the deal was we had been going to my parents. As you may know, my mother has a chronic condition. It's CLL, chronic lymphatic leukemia. I think I've got that right. It's lymphatic or lymphatic, but I'm not sure which. In any event, she's good. It is dormant And the only issue is her immune system is a little compromised. So if you're sick, it's not a great idea to go sneeze on her. So I think there were a couple years in a row when we had planned to go. And then on Monday or Tuesday before Thanksgiving, someone got sick. Either me or Will. It's always either me or Will. And so we had to cancel our plans. That got us in the habit of staying home. And we are such a lazy people. We are so lazy that now, one, we just assume someone's going to be sick. And in fact, I have a little touch of something. It's not bad. But Will does too. And Will's coughing. So it's like, here we are. Here we go again. But two, I think once you don't make the drive and the heavy traffic, the idea of ever doing it again is like, oh, I do wish we had some relatives nearby. And our close friends all go or have relatives come. So here we are in our house with our dog, and we actually have a really nice Thanksgiving. To be honest, it's one of my favorite holidays. No presents, no muss, no fuss. The cooking is easy. That people make a big deal out of roasting a turkey, but it's just like roasting a chicken, but bigger. And you know, none of it's that hard to do. It's a lot, but you can do some on Wednesday. So we have fun. We have a nice Thanksgiving dinner. Nobody brings phones to the table. Actually, no one ever brings phone to the table except Jack during the week. He's not allowed to at Sunday dinner. And we really shouldn't allow him other times, but he's very quiet anyway. So we kind of had let him the last year or two do that. He used to bring books, and we would let him do that except for Sunday dinner. Any event, no one brings a phone. And everybody, we have a nice time. We have a good chat. Will eats like 8 crescent rolls. That's his big thing. I get a ton of crescent rolls, and that's what he wants to eat at Thanksgiving. He eats a little turkey, some mashed potatoes. He's not a big eater, except when it comes to crescent rolls. And then after dinner, we will watch A Christmas Story, which has become our tradition. We've done that now, I don't know, for quite a while, maybe 6 or 7 years, certainly since we've lived in this house, and we've been in this house almost 10 years. And then on Friday, everyone just kind of veggies out. I am going to campaign for a Friday hike. The man and I went over to the Eno River State Park on Saturday, and we hiked. We didn't take the children because we wanted to have a good time. when the boys were younger, we tried to do a lot of stuff like that, and it just didn't work for our family. If you have a family that goes out and hikes together and has a good time, God bless you. You are blessed. My family is blessed in many, many ways. The big, fun family hike, not one of them. So the man and I went, and it's interesting, and I think this is true in a lot of cases, but the Eno River State Park, it's on a river. It's very easy access to the river. So you go down there, and it's crowded. And for about a quarter mile on the trails around the river, it's crowded. But as soon as you get past that quarter mile mark, it's like nobody's there. So it was great, and it was a beautiful day. It had been warm, but a cold front was coming in, and so clouds were rolling in, and I really actually like that. I mean, I was hoping that it wouldn't start pouring rain, and it didn't, but it was windy, and the leaves were blowing, and the colors were beautiful, and we found an old cabin in the woods. I took pictures. I should post a picture. And it was a wonderful hike. We should try again with the boys now that they're older. I think Will would be up for it. Jack, I don't know. But we could try. But Jack also went hiking and camping for 5 days up in the mountains with the senior class in September. So now, you know, he's an experienced guy. I hope you have happy Thanksgiving plans. I hope this will not be a sad Thanksgiving for you. I know for some people it is, and because they've recently lost loved ones, or they want to go to see family, to the big family gathering, and they can't get there. Some people have to work. Some people have to work. So, but my hope for you is that it'll be a good day, a warm day, a cozy day, a day filled with good food and good cheer. Where am I? Besides here in my front room with my dog by my side, it is Tuesday morning. I am a little bit out of my writing schedule. That will resume fully next week. I've been doing other writing, but not. I'm working on one of my early chapter books.
and my deadline for manuscript, but my official deadline is not until February, but I think I will actually have it done by the end of the year. So, and I'm on pace to have that done. So this week I wanted to work on some quilt fiction stuff. That's quiltfiction.com, which is a website we're building that I think we finally have figured out what our vision is for it. When I say we, it's me and the man. The Quilter's Bookshelf is up, and I spent a good period of time hunting down quilting novels. Now, I also want to start a list of quilting short stories that one way or another feature quilts. And in fact, yesterday I worked on a blog post because one of the updates to the site now, which is a little bit chaotic, is the central element is going to be a blog, in which I'll write about different things, but certainly about stories that have quilts in them. And one of my favorite stories, and I was writing about this yesterday, is Alice Walker's Everyday Use. And that was fun to do. And what I discovered as I was looking around is there are actually quite a few short stories that feature quilts. They're not necessarily quilting fiction in the way I'm mostly talking about it or thinking about it, which is books that really center around quilting, but a lot of writers use quilts. Quilts are great metaphors. They make for great analogies. So, and, you know, a lot of people grow up with quilts, right? They're in the linen closet, they're in the attic, they're a family treasure. So I will be talking more about that, but I want to compose a list of quilt stories and quilting poems. You know, the wonderful poet Lucille Clifton has an entire book of poems called Quilting. They're not all about quilts, and in fact, I'm trying to think if there's more than one poem about quilts in there, but I will talk about it on the quiltfiction.com site. So I've been working on that, working on some blog posts. I have been working on an Instagram project. If you follow me on Instagram, and I'm on there as Off Kilter Quilt, I have started posting quilt stories. And what these are just little... they're very, very, very short little stories. And the first one was inspired by me finding a chair. And I'd been working on a little chair applique, and inspired by Beverly Buchanan. I know I talked about Beverly Buchanan in the last quilt diary. I can't remember if I had started working on that chair yet. Anyway, so I was inspired by a drawing she did of a chair to do my own chair and applique it onto a block. And then I thought, you know, and I did that last Monday, I think after I recorded. And then I did a couple more chairs, a little larger, because my idea was, and this was on Tuesday, my idea was to do a chair quilt. And that's still my idea. And I don't really have time to do it right now, but that is on my list of things to do. And then on Wednesday, I was out walking Travis, and I found a chair. And it was actually sort of the furthest point of our walk, so maybe 3/4 of a mile from my house, in my neighborhood. It's a big neighborhood. And there was a chair sitting by the side of the road, and it was a little chair, and it was a wooden chair. And I thought, how strange to find this chair. And it was a chair that was kind of in the style of the chair I'd been working with, the chair, my applique chairs, the Beverly Buchanan chairs. And it was little and light, so I just picked it up and flung it over my shoulder and brought it home. But I just thought, that's just hilarious, because right now I'm all about the chairs, and here's a chair. So I took a picture of the chair underneath our basketball net, which is actually mounted on the garage. And I wrote a little quilt story about it, just about the finding of the chair. And I posted it on Instagram, and I thought, I'm going to do more of these. So I've done a couple more. I just posted the third one today, and it's kind of fun. It's a little hard because Instagram, of course, you know, one of the things is, I don't do a lot on my phone in terms of browsing the internet. I do look at Instagram, but I'm just as likely to be looking at Instagram on my laptop. So the problem with these quilt stories is to make the print large enough. So I'm still working on that, but it's kind of fun. I'm enjoying it. I did one. The second one was about, it's a story for those of you who have been listening to me
all along from the very beginning is a story you know, where the first quilt show I entered, my quilt, which was by no means a spectacular quilt, it was like my first quote-unquote real quilt, it got put in a corner facing a brick wall, and it was by itself. Had there been some other quilts, I wouldn't have felt so badly about it, but it was by itself, and I knew that it was there, in part because nobody knew me in this guild. I was fairly new to the guild, and so if they'd run out of space and they had to put some quilt, I understand why they chose my quilt, so I did not take it personally. If I'd been in their shoes, I might have done the same thing, but it still hurt my feelings, and I talked about it on the podcast, and Darla, scientific quilter, Darla, left this great comment, which was, nobody puts Francis in the corner, and it just made my day. And I still think about it all the time because it just makes me smile. So I wrote that little story with the picture. The background picture is of the quilt that was hung in the corner. Anyway, so I'm doing these. I don't know how long I'll do them. I'm just in that sort of creative space right now. I finally finished the back for the baby quilt. It's very simple. I will put a picture up. And now, I guess today my plan is to baste it and also make the binding. And I still haven't decided what quilting to do, but it's going to be simple. It may be straight line. And then I have all the fabric I need for the Bauhaus Birds in the Air. I also have ascertained its source, which I thought I had bookmarked, and I had not. But I found it, and it was made in 1920. It's from a print that was printed in the London Times in 1920. So according to U.S. law, it is in the public domain. And so I feel okay about using that. And yes, I have a week to do it, to revise the original. And that will be my big project over Thanksgiving, I believe. And here's my big news purchase-wise. I got a light box. I have my own makeshift light box, which worked and I liked, and I was proud of myself for doing it. But as I'm doing some more projects that could really use a light box, I just thought, you know, this may be worth it for me to invest in. And I got the man to help me research because he is savvy in the ways of technology and light boxes. And so I got a moderately priced, well-reviewed light box. So I will have that, and I'm excited about that. In other quilting news, I did a reading on Sunday at a new quilt shop up in Wake Forest, North Carolina, which is sort of a bedroom community of Raleigh. It used to be its own place. I'm sure it thinks of itself as its own place, but my guess is about 75% of people who live there now work in Raleigh. I remember it way back in the day, a long time ago, when it was just a small, sleepy town. And now it's got all the things, all the Targets, all the box stores, all the new developments. It's still quaint and lovely, and I was very happy to be asked. Actually, the bookstore owner at Page 158 Books up in Wake Forest got in touch with me and said, do you want to do a reading? And I said, sure. I said, you know, it'd be great to do it in conjunction with a local quilt shop. And Creative Threads is a new shop. And about 10 people came out, which was wonderful. That was about 9 people more than I actually expected. So that was really lovely. And what was interesting to me is that several of the people that were there were non-quilters, but they either themselves loved reading quilty fiction or had friends or relatives who did. And it was really nice. I read from Birds in the Air. I showed the quilts. People were very complimentary about the quilts, and had a really nice talk with people, and people bought the book. Yay! So that was a good event. You might have noticed by now we've had no election talk on this episode, and we will have no election talk. I think it's good to have some spaces in our lives right now that are free of election talk. I really do. I really do, and I know a lot of people feel otherwise. Like, I need to use my space to make my feelings known. I actually think it would be good for everyone to take a collective breath and ponder and meditate and pray and think. Yes, that's also not what this space is for. But we can talk about the latest kerfuffle in the quilt world. And this is the Husband's Lounge at the International Quilt Festival. I read about this in Abby Glassenberg's blog. I love Abby Glassenberg, her blog and her newsletter, While She Sleeps. And she reported on the story that a number of people were upset because the organizers at this year's quilt market, and I guess they've been doing this for 7 or 8 years now, cordoned off a space and put up a sign that said husbands, and in the space were some easy chairs and a TV. And there were people who were upset about this. There were quilters who don't have husbands, they have wives. And there are quilters who don't have spouses, they have partners. And there are quilters who don't have partners, but they have support staff in terms of friends. You know, a lot of people go to shows or go shop hopping with a friend to give them moral support, you know? And so, but it's not just husbands. And the point is well taken. This is the 21st century. The Husband's Lounge does strike me as a bit anachronistic. And it's easy enough resolved. You could call it any sort of thing. You know, a place for wary people. Wary isn't W-E-A-R-Y, but also W-A-R-Y. Either could work. You could call it Loafer's Glory. You could call it Rest Area. There's so many things you could call it, which suggests come, sit down. Whoever you are, whatever you're doing. And you could make it suggest that this is a place for people, for the non-quilters. Let's call it Muggles Corner, right? It's just some place for the people who are not actually all that on fire for quilts and just want to sit down. I think that it can be done, and done in a way that is funny and humorous and continues, I think, what is the long-running folk tradition / humor about the husband, the supportive partner who holds the purse and the bags, etc., for the quilt, the passionate quilter. And, yeah, so I think that that all can be done. Now, I will say this. What I'm a little bit tired of is that instead of handling or responding to that situation with humor, people are saying, oh, I'm just tired of this heteronormative, misogynist, blah, blah, blah thing on the part of these organizers. And I just want to say, you know, maybe if we didn't overreact to every little thing, we could get a little balance in our lives and bring our blood pressure down. Maybe if we started reacting to things with kindness, maybe we could not assume that the organizers were trying to be exclusionary, because I don't think they were. I think that, again, the husband holding the bags, holding the purse, sitting in the only folding chair in the shop or the place, it is a long-running joke in quilting. And sometimes people need to be reminded, okay, we get the joke, and it's a funny joke, but now we need to broaden the joke. We need to broaden the tradition to include other spouses, other partners, okay? And you could, there's just, and not assume meanness and prejudice on the part of the organizers. My guess is they just weren't thinking. And unless you yourself have never inadvertently excluded someone, or perhaps even on purpose excluded someone, and I hate to say, I've done both. As an adult, it's been more just inadvertent, right? But as a kid, we did some excluding. As you get older, sometimes you don't even know. You don't know what you don't know. And so if someone can point it out with kindness, like, you know, you kind of left out so-and-so over there. And you don't, you know, you might go, oh, I wasn't even thinking, you know? But then you go, oh, okay, yeah, I don't want that person to be left out. Instead of someone coming up and saying, you're bigoted, you're misogynistic or heteronormative or anti-gay or whatever, which immediately makes me feel defensive, like, you know? So anyway, so that I think we can create a welcome table that welcomes everyone in quilting. And we can do it with kindness and love. And if we need to point out to somebody that it's not just husbands carrying the purses anymore, sometimes it's wives, right? Sometimes it's partners. If we can do it with love and kindness and good humor, I think people will listen. But it's when we start calling names that people close their ears. And I think there's been a lot too much name calling lately. Really, I do. So, end of sermon. But I do love a good kerfuffle. I always have. I think that is going to do it for me today. I will tell you that I just finished reading Jennifer Weiner's memoir, Hungry Heart, which I absolutely enjoyed. I think if you've been listening for any length of time, you know that I met her at the American Library Association conference in Orlando this summer. She has a children's book out now. She normally writes women's fiction. I'm actually reading one of her books right now. It's not quite my thing, but I appreciate that what she does really well. She's funny. She writes a good sentence. She is able to kind of, Essentially, she's writing about a certain kind of life, a certain kind of woman's life. Upper middle class, even wealthy, successful women who have contemporary problems. And that can be really fun to read about. And so what she does, I think she does very well. And I think the memoir is wonderful, particularly, you know, she's someone who has struggled with her weight her entire life. And she writes a lot about that. And I appreciate that as someone who's always struggled with my weight. So well worth the read, I think. Even if her kind of fiction is not your kind of fiction, you might actually really enjoy the memoir. And she has had a very interesting life. I liked her personally very much. And one of the things I liked about her is, you know, it's not unusual for someone who writes for adults to try their hand at a children's book. More often, they write picture books. They do picture books instead of novels. And when you see these folks at these gatherings and conventions, they often hold themselves separate from the other writers. Like they don't want, and they're like, whoa, now don't, I'm not really a children's writer. Don't identify. Remember who I am. I actually write for the adults. I'm just sort of, you know, slumming. And what I liked about Jennifer Weiner, who's a very successful writer, is that she wasn't like that at all. She went, we were on a panel together. The group of authors who on the panel got together early to eat and before the panel started. And she did not have handlers. She did actually, well, she was there on her own and she was sitting by herself. So I just went up and said, hey, and we started chatting and I liked her. And later she did a giveaway of my new book, Trouble the Water, on her Facebook page. So I feel like she's a generous person. And there are things in the memoir that reinforced that sense of her. And that is something that I've been thinking about lately, about generosity. And I would really love to see all of us be more generous in our feelings and judgments of our feelings about one another and our judgments of one another. And, you know, we can bring that right home into the quilting world. And I know that I'm always really, I always really appreciate it. So I appreciate, I feel like Krista Watson it has been very generous with me personally, but also with the community. I have like corresponded a little bit with Victoria Finley Wolfe, and she is someone, she writes back right away, and she's very friendly and very nice and warm, and she doesn't have to, right? She's a star. She doesn't have to be friendly and nice and warm. She doesn't have to reply at all to emails. She could say, I just didn't have time to get around to them, but she does. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the generosity of Annie Smith and Marian Fons and reading Birds in the Air. And the other day I posted a little applique, a picture of one of my little applique chairs, and Melissa Averinos commented on it. I thought, that's so nice. She doesn't have to do that. And I'll tell you what she does, which is super cool, is she follows a ton of people on Instagram. You'll notice if you look at various people's pages that there are people who have like 60,000 followers and they maybe follow 300 people, which I totally get. If you have 60,000 followers, you're not going to follow everyone back. That would be a kind of insanity, I think. It would completely, what would be the purpose of Instagram as a viewer of Instagram if you were having to go through 60,000 posts? I mean, not everyone posts every day and a lot of, but you know what I mean. But I feel like Melissa Averinos follows like 2,000 people. So I think she's one of these people. She follows you back. I am not a star, but I do like following people back. So if you follow me on Instagram, the only thing I'm a little wary of is people who have private accounts, because I never know if you've got a private account, you know, maybe you just want it private. Maybe you just want it for family and close friends. So if you follow me on Instagram and you want me to follow you back, but you have a private account, message me and let me know. Because I love following people back. I love seeing what people are doing, you know. And also feel free. You know, I just got some wonderful pictures from, I don't know if it's Helle. It's H-E-L-L-E. And we have corresponded a little bit. And she sent me some, I asked her to send me some cool pictures, and she did. Beautiful. And she hand sews and hand pieces. Beautiful quilt. So if you ever like say, yeah, I made this new quilt and I'm not on Twilters or I'm not on Facebook, but I want to show somebody, show it to me. I would love to see it. I want to say thanks to everyone who commented on episode 200. Thanks to Doreen and Christine. Thanks to Holly Ann. Thanks to Leah and to Laura. And Laura, by the way, did affirm that, yes, it's right to give Jack's room to Will when the time comes. I don't know. We haven't talked about this with Jack, so I'm on the down low here. Anyway, a couple of people commented on that and said, yeah, you know, it's the right thing to do. Hey, it happened to me. Let's see. Heard from Ivy and Noni. Heard from Laura, Designs by Laura, different Laura than the earlier Laura. Heard from Vicky. Hope you guys are listening to Vicky's podcast, My Creative Corner 3. Lots of fun. Heard from Janet, and I don't know, I'm going to say Andra, but if it's Andra, let me know. Heard from Susan and Alyssa. And Alyssa, you asked about how to get Birds in the Air in Canada. It should be on Amazon. So check that out. You should be able to order it from Amazon or order it through your local bookstore. Heard from the marvelous Kelly the Fifth and Sherry D. I'm hearing from some old friends here, which is very nice. Heard from Lizzie. I heard from Nicole, and she gave me a great link. Her local quilt shop has been sharing house patterns. So they're doing a house blocks, a house quilt. In any event, the link is on the show notes, and the link to the first building permit is on to the show notes. It'll take you to the quilt shop. So if you're interested in houses the way I am right now, this would be a good place to get started on your own house quilt. Now, I heard from Diana, and I loved this because, you know, last time I talked about trick-or-treating and against teenagers trick-or-treating, and Diana wrote, I probably shouldn't admit this, but I trick-or-treated through senior year of high school and have no regrets. My group of high school friends, 7 nerdy, polite, late-blooming girls, always wore inspired costumes, at least, though they did little to prevent the "how old are you" comments. Well, you know what? I think nerdy girls wearing inspired costumes should be given a pass on the trick-or-treating thing, because, you know, and probably drama kids as well. You know, the kids, it's like older kids who do a great job with the costumes and are really into it, you know, you're going to give a pass to. It's people who, you know, their idea of they throw a sheet over at their head or don't wear a costume at all, and they just come and they take all your candy that you left in a bowl outside your door. Yeah, those are the ones we're talking about. But nerdy girls, they can do whatever they want. I love a nerdy girl. So, Diana, I just think that's fine. Heard from my good old friend Tammy Knox. And, Tammy, I sent you cards. I'm sorry it took me a while. Heard from Deborah, who has this note on giving the college-bound child's room to a younger sibling. She writes, "Repurposing a college child's room helps them mentally cut the apron strings. Don't want to make the old home too comfortable." Deborah, right you are. And this is my favorite. She writes, "It's even fun to discuss plans for the room at the dinner table while they are still there to listen with a look of shock on their faces." Oh, that's too good. Okay, and thanks to Julianne. And to all of you who commented in your head, I got some emails as well. People who just popped over to say hi and to mention, yes, head commenter. And that's cool. Because you know what? I hear them all. Yes. Anyway, thank you so much for taking the time to comment, to email. And if you want to email me, it's fdowell@nc.rr.com. Come over to Instagram and follow me at Off Kilter Quilt. I'm almost at 400 followers. Very exciting. I feel like I've hit the big time. I really am enjoying Instagram a lot. As much to, you know, just to look at other people's stuff is very fun. So come on over, and also come over to the Quilt Fiction page on Facebook and like that if you have a chance. I sure would appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.